you babe. And what would I do if I didn't love you babe? And what would I do?
What would
I didn't love you? Baby, what you doing? What you want? I can tell your friends if you don't mind them coming. You like to go slow, but we could go faster. Tell me the password. Slide, slide, city. You know what that means. I'm coming up on your creepy. I'll be nice things. So I'ma get slow, stupid. I know it's gonna make you late. What would I do if I didn't love you, babe? What would I do if I didn't love you, babe? What would I do if I didn't love you?
Guaranteed human.
iHeart SoCal, putting a spotlight on charitable organizations, nonprofits, and people giving back.
Hi, it's Lisa Fox. Getting ready for Earth Day this coming Wednesday. Although we say every day is Earth Day, what kind of lasting changes can we make that will truly make a difference? Well, let's find out with my friend Sheila Morvati. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, hello. Sheila is the founder and president of Two, not one, but Two. She's a busy mom and wife and the founder and president of Two nonprofit organizations just in time for Earth Day. She's going to share lots of important information. You know, Sheila's worked hard over the years to foster systematic change by targeting major corporations and also promoting to regular folks like us that we have the power to make better choices for the planet and for us and our lives, and to inspire meaningful activism to make our planet a healthier and better place to live. We're so lucky to have our planet Earth. So said all the astronauts who were up in space recently, swinging around the moon. And wow, how beautiful do we look from up there?
We are so inspired. I have to say that view of the planet from that perspective, from,
right.
the loop around the moon and seeing that the Earth rise was one of those like breathtaking moments that you kind of can't believe your eyes and what you're seeing. And there's actually something called the overview effect. It's like this sense of awe that you get from seeing planet Earth from a different perspective.
Sure.
And it really moves you to the core. And it just kept getting me thinking, like, I wonder if all these people who are so excited about this could just be as excited about taking care of the planet while we are here on planet Earth, and as, like, you know, the human beings of this planet. And so that really inspired me even more to continue the work we do.
I feel like some of the astronauts were even saying things like, wow, look how beautiful our planet, look how lucky we are to have this planet with so many gifts. You know, other planets out there, we're searching for life and all these things and getting cool pictures and up close pictures of other planets. But look how lucky we are to have planet Earth and all the gifts that it offers. But boy, we need to take better care of our planet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is an awakening right there, to see the preciousness of it and how delicate it is and how much we kind of disregard it and we take it for granted. And I think that perspective is a really helpful way to look at Earth Day as an opportunity for a launching pad to start doing things a little differently in our daily lives.
And it's so easy to make little changes that will make a difference in terms of how we care for ourselves and how we care for our planet. So let's start first by talking about Sheila's organization, Habits of Waste. It's habitsofwaste.org, habitsofwaste.org. And like Sheila's always said, and like I always say, and even Sheila has really rubbed off on me over the years. I've had her, on the show every year, off and on here and there. And she's a wonderful gal and really, really, truly cares about spreading these messages. And it's never too late to get folks on board to real lifestyle changes. And it's super easy and it makes you feel good every time you do a little change in your life, and you put on your husband and put on the boyfriend and you put on your kids, and he's like, okay, if we all do this together, little changes here and there, we can make a difference.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be perfect. That is another key factor here, because a lot of people are just like, well, I'm not an environmentalist and I don't know if I'm going to do this right. And so we try very hard to say, be an imperfect environmentalist, which, by the way, of course, is the name of my book. Have to plug that in. But it is really the purpose of getting started is to just start and not feel like you have to do this perfectly, because there is no perfect way.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with a biggie, though. And we all know that this has been a problem for a long time, but it's really gotten out of control. How do we say no to plastic? How do we start saying no? And how bad is plastic for our planet and our bodies?
Well, plastic is obviously really bad for our planet, but as we're learning more and more, the amount of microplastics that we are all ingesting is something that nobody ever really imagined. And it's being found in like baby fetuses and like different parts of the world, like in plants. It's everywhere. And we really need to curb our consumption of single-use plastic. And so the way to get away from it is, our motto is reusable always wins. If you even own a restaurant and you're, you know, trying to figure out how to reduce plastic, in the long run, getting reusables going is always going to be more cost effective. So it could be a benefit for your pocketbook. It could be better for your bottom line in your business. And at home, you know, just going with these reusable alternatives instead of buying all those Ziploc baggies or all those different, you know, disposable, whatever you call them, like little lunch boxes or something. If you get a few reusables and you take care of them, they should last for years and years and years. And so just avoiding all single use items is really the key thing here.
So as we all talk about this, how bad plastic is for us, our bodies, and our planet, being reminded about it, easy to make some changes so there's way less plastic in your life. But explain how these microplastics are getting into our bodies. Is it happening just simply from anything that was in plastic? The plastic like seeps into it and then it goes into our body when we drink or eat it?
Yeah. So for example, if you get a cup of coffee at a coffee shop and it gets poured into the paper cup, you're imagining that it's paper, right? But it's not just paper, because it's lined with tons of plastic film, right? So that film is what's keeping the liquid from seeping through the paper cup. And there was a study done actually recently, and like it was in the hundreds of thousands of microplastic particles that are going in your coffee that then you're drinking, because the hot cup is going into this plastic that's melting, essentially the plastic lining, and that's going into your body. So that's like a perfect example of why it's so important to try not to drink your hot coffee or tea in these disposable cups, because you're really taking in a lot of plastic with it. So take your reusable cup if you want to go to Starbucks, or better yet, make your coffee at home. It's cheaper. It can be really fun and a really good way to save some money too.
Let's talk about the evil plastic water bottles that are just everywhere. So bad when they end up in our oceans and our trash. They're not biodegradable. They're not good for our landfills. And so I'm sure if we're ingesting water from plastic bottles, right, there's a chance we're probably ingesting microplastics by drinking from it.
Yes, because all those water bottles need to get transported. And so imagine they're sitting in hot trucks, in the hot sun, in a hot warehouse, waiting to be, you know, brought to your home when you might put it in the fridge. But by now, it's been, again,
in
melting
water
into a liquid. And there's so much microplastic in that water that you're putting in your body. So it's a really, really fast way to swap this out by just getting your reusable water bottle, getting filtered water. If you don't feel like the filtered water in your house is, as you know, easy to come by, get a Brita filter, put it on your countertop, and use that filtered water that way. It's really a simple swap out. And then now so many restaurants, so many places, you don't have to buy anything, and you take your water bottle in and they'll refill it for you at no charge.
Yeah, even our local theme parks are on board with it too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a good way to again, back to saving. We always talk about saving money here too, because that's a very big driving force. There's so many people that are on, you know, food stamps and things, and they're wasting a lot of that precious money on water bottles. And so we oftentimes talk to people about that and say, like, use that for fresh fruits and vegetables and produce and whatever else you need. Water can be, you know, handled with filters, and a Brita filter specifically. So that's just a countertop simple solution.
Yeah. And even just, again, think about it. Every time you don't go with a plastic bottle of water and you just use your reusable container and good old tap water or whatever, I mean, you're going to start to feel like, okay, I'm making a difference. I'm not being as wasteful. I'm not giving the plastic bottle companies all this money because you buy them every day. If you are, we should definitely be trying to do way less of that for ourselves and for our planet, for our pocketbook, right? Reusable is where it's at. Not putting leftovers and plastic bags in the fridge, using glass containers. If you can, they've got tons of sizes now. Buy them on Amazon. Get all the different sizes. Pop your leftovers in there instead of plastic bags. And Sheila, I thought this was an interesting thing that people complained about or brought up on social media after, you know, the official plastic bag ban went into effect at all the stores, all the grocery stores. People were posting on social media, okay, so no plastic bags, but then everything in the store is still in plastic. The bread, the this, the that, like every item in the store, so much of it is in plastic. It's not solving the problem yet. Or how hypocritical is that?
So I think this is where we talk about the imperfection of environmentalism. If we don't start somewhere, we'll never get anywhere.
Yeah.
But the truth is that we have to denormalize single-use plastic. And this is a starting point. And I think that eventually, you know, one of our biggest campaigns is called Lights, Camera, Plastic. And what we're doing is taking all single-use plastic off of any film and TV screen. So like when you're watching your shows, you're hopefully not going to see as much plastic anymore because pretty much every studio is on board already. And we have so many productions doing it. And the truth of the matter is, like, that's how we shift culture. And then the fact that people are seeing all that plastic in grocery stores now is telling us that it's working because now they're seeing it. Most of the time things happen around us and we're just like immune or like numb to it. But this is good. This is people questioning it. Like, what about all those? Let's talk about that. Let's find a solution there. What's next?
Yeah, like it shouldn't be the norm that so much is in plastic. If it's bad for us and bad for our planet, we should be demanding better, doing things differently.
Yes. Yes. And so we have to start change somewhere. And I think that plastic bag ban going into full effect is a perfect example of like people starting to see like we can continue without these. And I hope that they're using hopefully less paper bags and switching to reusable alternatives because that's actually the easiest way.
Right.
You just
leave
them in the back of your car and they're like there for you anytime you need them. And I can't tell you how many times I've used those reusable bags for a million other reasons, not just grocery shopping.
Hey, they're strong.
And
I got a
like,
trunk.
Oh, I have a bag in my car.
Yeah.
So we have a whole little setup right here for any sort of emergency or things like that that happen.
I got a trunk full of reusables, all different shapes, colors, and sizes. And you know what?
Yes.
It's fine. It's not weighing down the car. It's fine.
That's
and
right.
Good to use, like you said, for all kinds of reasons. Back to as we continue talking about no to plastic, how do we say no to plastic? How do we say no to all of these plastic sets of silverware? They're everywhere. Restaurants, to-go orders, delivery drivers. Talk about how your organization, Habits of Waste, has been a big pusher behind getting at least these delivery food companies to stop wasting all these plastic forks, spoons, and knives and these little sets here, to stop wasting and just automatically putting tons in every bag they deliver, but making it a new setting on the app when you make the order. If you need it, you have to ask for it.
Yeah. So that was a campaign called Cut Out Cutlery that later evolved into Skip the Stuff. And what it is, it's basically a play on choice architecture. And what that means is that every time we interact with a food delivery app or, you know, really anything, your computer, all these different electronics specifically that we have around us, there's like default settings. And these default settings kind of imply how we live our lives. And sometimes we don't question default settings and we just go around doing whatever the company or the app or the computer says is the default. What we did with Cut Out Cutlery is we convinced Uber Eats, Postmates, Grubhub, and DoorDash to change their default settings so that users only get plastic cutlery upon request. And it took a while. We got it done. It later turned into state law in California, most recently in New Jersey, in Washington, Colorado, and 168 other municipalities.
Wow.
And the food delivery applications made this swap global so that if you're traveling, you have the same experience on their product, which is their app. And since we started this this campaign around the pandemic, we've saved over 2.5 billion pieces of plastic cutlery.
Wow.
And it's remarkable to see how many people really don't need all that plastic cutlery,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're home or at work. Most people, scientifically proven, prefer to eat with a heavier utensil
mm-hmm.
and enjoy, you know, their meal that way. So I'm very proud of that one because really it's just my background is in sociology and understanding human behavior is such a key factor to the bridge between, you know, environmental issues and taking action and getting everyday people to sort of shift their behavior. I'm also really proud to be the commencement speaker at the UCLA Sociology Department this year, which is my alma mater. So this is like going full circle and talking with a new generation of students that are graduating about how they can use this background with, you know, sociological shift, change making, and to create shifts in society and culture and value systems.
And you know what? And kudos to you, Sheila, but also, you know, people should feel good about making these changes. At first, you might be like, God, kind of a pain in the, you know what? But ladies, if you have a purse, guys, if you have a merce or a backpack, just carry a spork, which is a spoon and a fork, which is it's a thicker plastic. I have one. I've used it for 10 years. It's in my bag at all times. And every time I see, even like here at the radio station, we have 8 stations in our building, and we often have big events, large gatherings. There are, you know, some local restaurants or fast food companies do a big food drop, or something's catered for a big meeting, or a big an artist comes in, and there's just tons of those plastic silverware setups everywhere that they just bring. And I'm like, wait, I need to get everybody a spork. We all need a spork of our own that we keep and reuse over and over again.
Absolutely. BYO, we talk about that all the time. Such a good habit to have if you can get into that. And also, I'd really love to suggest that people who are in a workplace where they may not have reusable utensils there, like sometimes it's just suggesting it and management will be like, okay, we can do that. And sometimes it's like going to the local garage sale or flea market. There's tons of utensils all the time, reusable, that you can buy for not a lot of money, and just bring those in, and people are so grateful. And it's a very simple, you just kind of have to take the first step at times, either ask someone to do it or just bring it in, and can sometimes put a cute sign up and say, you know, wash this after you use it and help the planet. And people are so excited to participate. They just need some sort of nudge to get going.
They need a leader, Sheila, a leader.
Yep,
I was going
to
say.
Need a little load of a leader. Exactly.
Now I feel like I'm going to have to be the person to suggest it, bring in real silverware and say, okay, fine. If we all use this, I guess I'll promise to wash it. If you just use it, I'll wash it.
I'll give you one trick. What we started doing is rent, when we had events and we would rent, you know, plates, glasses, cutlery, to rent cutlery is sometimes the same price as purchasing cutlery, like obviously not fancy cutlery. So we would always buy the cutlery that we would get from like IKEA or something, and then we would donate all the cutlery to companies. So one time we did it for our friends at BuzzFeed, another time we did it for another media company that we were working with, and they have huge amounts of people having lunch every day, and they would need lots and lots of cutlery, and so they were grateful to take it, and it just shifted their system right there, because all of a sudden all this plastic cutlery, I mean reusable cutlery, comes in, and people are like, oh great, this is so much better.
I love it. Okay, so we're talking about saying no to plastic, how to get plastic out of our lives, out of the life of our planet, our big beautiful planet that we need to take better care of. Such a wealth of information on Sheila's website for her organization, Habits of Waste, habitsofwaste.org, for more. Another thing that she focuses big on promoting is food waste. How do we manage, much better manage, all the food that's being wasted, and how important is composting? Because I know the city or the county, whoever dropped off those little green bins at everyone's doorstep a while back, we've been using the composting bins, and they just get real stinky. They get very stinky, but I do feel better using it because I know that's the proper place to put, you know, peels and leftover food, the actual food items. But boy, does it get stinky.
Well, to solve the stinky problem, that little bin, if you have room in your freezer, a lot of people do the composting in their freezer till they're ready to take it outside. So that might solve a bit of it for you.
We have been doing that with the peels. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, because
it
does help a bit.
Yeah, and we have issues with fruit flies. Fruit flies are just everywhere. So I'm like, no, put it in the freezer. We have a whole little corner for the avocado shells and lemon peels and the orange rinds and the tangerine and all the peels, all the rinds, all the stuff until it's ready.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Until you're ready to take it out. So that's one thing. The other thing is food waste is one of the largest causes of climate change, and the amount of methane gas that it produces, it is mind blowing. And in this country alone, we throw away more than 50% of our food. So not to you know, just mention how much food is being wasted and how many people around the world would really, really desperately need that food. But at the very least, we can start to try to mitigate that here by, you know, cooking and purchasing the amount of food that we need, not just going to, let's say, Costco and getting some gigantic amount of food because it's there and then throwing it away. Maybe sharing some of those big purchases at like these gigantic, you know, warehouse stores. However, I really, really strongly suggest that composting is, you know, done, especially in LA County, because that green bin, they'll take all of your food scraps, they'll take it and they'll deal with it, and you don't have to worry about the worms and the, you know, folding over all the compost constantly and like making sure it stays healthy. If people can do that, you know, you get the best soil you'd ever dream of and have the most beautiful garden, but I know that that's not realistic for everyone. So you don't have to have the city's small bin. You can use a bowl at home. You could use a small, whatever container you might have, a small garbage can, and then take it outside. Just do not put the plastic bags, or some people have like compostable bags, mm-hmm. in the green bin. And also, like, no pet waste. Some people think that that's okay. You cannot do that either. But
oh, I did think about that.
A lot of people wonder about that, but you can't put any of those things. But just imagine, like, anything that you're eating, it could go in there. And so it's a really, really wonderful way to create, again, beautiful soil, and the city's doing it for us. So what a wonderful way to participate in something that's causing so much, you know, methane gases for our environment.
Right, right. Ramatha Sheila Mravati, she's the founder and president of not one, but two nonprofits. And just in time for Earth Day this coming Wednesday, as we say, every day is Earth Day. She is behind the Crayon Collection and Habits of Waste. We've been talking about Habits of Waste and how to change our habits of waste. So much information on her website, habitsofwaste.org. She can engage you in every facet of your life and of our world, and get you kind of fired up to create change. It's so easy if you start with little things at home, at work, with our kids, at school, you know, to the best of our ability. Just starting somewhere makes you feel like, oh, I'm slowly making a difference here. And that's very empowering. It's a good thing. Saying no to plastics in as many ways as possible is a good thing. Talking about food waste and composting, very, very healthy. And let's talk about the importance of what we put into our body in terms of course, personal health and the health of our planet. How important is the plant-based diet? Less animal meat and more plants, more living plant foods into our bodies. How much does that all make a difference?
It is probably the single most important thing individuals can do to help combat climate change. We have a campaign that recommends eating at least 8 plant-based meals a week. That is a 40% reduction of animal products in your diet. And we came up with that number based on a study done by the University of Michigan, and it talks a lot about what the impact is of each and every meal that has animal products in it for the planet. And so it is really a fun and easy way to do it. We have an app that's free to help anybody who wants to participate. It's called Habits of Waste. You can download it, and it helps you find recipes, helps you shop for items. It shows you how much carbon offset you're creating by each and every meal that you log in there. It's a fun way to, you know, just get involved. And believe me, there's so many times that I thought to myself, well, I can't be vegan. There's no way. But 8 meals is something I can do, and I really try to keep that as my minimum goal for every week that I eat. You know, all the cooking we do at home or going out to eat. There's some yummy stuff out there, especially, like, I think Indian food has the best vegan food there is, or even Mexican food and stuff. There's so many good options that do not have animal products in them, and you don't feel like you're missing a thing.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of misnomers about plant-based eating right now, but it doesn't. I personally really ask people to try whole foods plant-based, which means like no products with extra additives or ultra processed foods, just really
real
whole
living foods.
Yeah, really good food. And I think it's just you feel good afterwards, and it's really good for the planet.
We've been talking with my friend Sheila Mravati. She's the founder and president of two nonprofit organizations, Habits of Waste, which we've been talking about, in time for Earth Day this coming Wednesday, and her other baby, the Crayon Collection. She's got a big art education fundraiser for the Crayon Collection coming up in very soon. But Sheila, share again the story as to how the Crayon Collection kind of accidentally began, why you felt so passionate to start this organization.
Yeah. So Crayon Collection was born because I had a very picky eating 3-year-old who, she's now 18 years old and much less picky, but she's still picky. And so we'd go to restaurants and we'd get, she would eat, and she loved eating, you know, at CPK specifically. And we would get 3 free crayons each time, like a little packet. And then those crayons would get kind of rolled to the side of the table. And before I knew it, they were being thrown in the garbage. And I kept wondering to myself, like, why are we throwing all this away? This doesn't make any sense. Like, so many kids would love to have crayons. So we started the Crayon Collection to basically collect restaurant crayons and donate them to underserved schools within 5 miles of each restaurant. This sort of grew and grew into all 50 states. 25 million crayons later, as well as an art education program that uses crayons as a main tool to reinsert the arts into schools that are facing budget cuts and cannot afford to teach art anymore. So
wow.
I'm very proud of this organization. And that was really the stepping stone for everything that I did afterwards. And it was just highlighting something that really bothered me. And it just didn't sit well that teachers are spending upwards of $900 of their personal earnings on classroom supplies. And here we are watching restaurants throw away over 150 million crayons a year that are perfectly brand new practically. Some don't even make it out of the box. So that was a really fun experience. And we even set a Guinness record for it. And we did all sorts of fun things throughout the years. And we're still doing it. And yes, thank you, Lisa. We have an event coming up in May, which is a fundraiser for Art Education for All. And that is basically, the title of it is what it's doing. It's trying to make sure that children in all socioeconomic backgrounds have access to the arts. And so we would love any support people might have to donate to the cause and to help us continue the work that we're doing.
And do you actually take donations from other people's used crayons, or can we donate used crayons or new crayons? Do you take crayon donations for this, or is it more monetary donations to fuel the mission of all this?
Ideally, if you have, like, there's a whole system on how you could get involved at crayoncollection.org. You can start a crayon collection of your own, and we help you find a school within 5 miles of your location. It's
a
great way for kids to get involved. It's a great way for your school if you're in a better served environment where there is a lot of extra things like crayons and other art supplies even, and you can donate them to a local school. You could also start a crayon collection of a local restaurant, and then, you know, we can again help you find a school that's in need. All of this is all on our website. For the fundraiser specifically in May, we are looking for donors and donations to support the programming that we do at Crayon Collection for the next year. So that is where you can make a donation at crayoncollection.org.
Crayoncollection.org. I love that. And also, you've told me before how young people, you love seeing young people get inspired by all this environmental activism. And we know it's a hot new trend. Well, tennis has been around for a long time. Pickleball is a hot new trend. But who knew that there's waste when it comes to pickleballs and tennis balls being thrown out? Talk about that.
Yeah. My son came home from school. He's a tennis player. He said he was in a social entrepreneurship class, and he said, you know, Mom, we talked a lot about how many tennis balls and pickleballs are thrown away, and it really isn't good for the planet. And I said, well, why don't you do something about it? So him and about 10 other friends have created a program called Another Bounce. And they are setting a Guinness World Record, actually, this fall, where they're collecting the most tennis and pickleballs, which we'd love everybody to get involved around LA County. We are receiving balls. You can ship them to us. And then the kids are also speaking at city council meetings, such as Beverly Hills, Culver City, Malibu, City of LA, asking for an ordinance to be passed that requires parks and clubs to recycle tennis and pickleballs, because
sure.
We're throwing like 500 million tennis balls a year, and they're just used for mere minutes, and they're being thrown in the garbage.
What?
So they are recyclable, and we need to create change for that. So any area that we can tackle waste, we're in, and we are here to do it, and we really hope that people will join us. And all the information about Another Bounce can also be found at habitsofwaste.org, and we invite anybody to join in.
Yeah, I feel like if you see an area of your life, you listening right now, I feel like if you see an area in your life where you see something happening that's being, it's a very wasteful situation and it's bothering you, contact Sheila Morvati, because she will help you figure out a way to do something about it and maybe tackle the issue or find a way to approach a better way to recycle these items or just have them, you know, better serve our planet. But being wasteful is a huge problem. So obviously that's one way we can do in honor of Earth Day, but honor just in everyday little baby lifestyle changes. Start somewhere and you're going to get pumped up. You're going to get more inspired to do more. It's very catchy. It's my life has evolved very much so in the right direction in terms of loving our planet more and just in terms of being responsible for my own waste, you know, not being so careless and so wasteful is for us all to care a little bit more and do something about it is big. So if we all do a little something today, right now, and start with that and see where it grows and how it goes and just keep it going. I mean, together, we all do a little something starting today. We are going to make a difference, and it feels good to do it.
Amazing. That's exactly what we wish for everybody to do. Walk away with doing at least one thing that you feel like you can tackle today. And believe it or not, that little door opens wider and wider. Like, I could do this, and I can do that. And this wasn't that bad or this hard. So we need everybody to get involved. This climate crisis is too great of an issue for it to just be left up to the environmentalists, quote unquote. We are all in environmentalists. We all live on this planet and we need to take part. And I really invite people who are interested, like we spell out every single campaign that we've ever started from start to finish and how we did it in the book. It's The Imperfect Environmentalist. You can get it on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. It's the orange cover. You'll love it. It tells you the steps and the strategy of how to get change made.
Woo! There you go. Sheila Moravati, habitsofwaste.org is one of her websites, habitsofwaste.org for all the info, and crayoncollection.org, and on Instagram at howchangers, right? At howchangers.
That's right.
Habits of Waste.
Yes.
Changers. Let's make the difference,
that's
people.
Right.
Come on. And early happy Earth Day. Let's make it beautiful again. We can do it. Woo!
We can. Thank you, Lisa. Happy Earth Day to you, too. Happy early Earth Day.
Early Earth Day.
This was iHeart SoCal on 102.7 KISS FM. To find out more about this program and how you can help, head to KISSFM.com. Keyword iHeart SoCal.
This season on Dear Chelsea, with me, Chelsea Handler, we have some fantastic guests, like David Oyelowo.
I love this podcast, whether it's therapy or relationships or religion, or you just go straight for the guts.
Dennis Leary, Amelia Clark, Gaten Matarazzo from Stranger Things, Sana Moju, Camilla Marone, Carrie Kenny Silver, and more. Open your free iHeartRadio app, search Dear Chelsea, and listen now.
Hey there, this is Josh from Stuff You Should Know with a message that could change your life. The Stuff You Should Know Think Spring podcast playlist is available now. Whether spring has sprung in your neck of the woods yet or not, the Stuff You Should Know Think Spring playlist will make you want to get your overalls on, get outside, and get your hands in the dirt. So open your free iHeartRadio app, search Stuff You Should Know, and listen now.
Begins to swim, swim. I just wanna dive. I just hand is bad girl, bad girl. Don't know how to act, girl. I'm in the deep, tell me where the hell you at, girl. Oh, you ain't even gotta love me back, girl. You know that I'm never holding back, girl. Yeah.
So easy, I made it so hard. Nights like these, I just wanna get lost. Right here with the moon and the stars. I ain't gotta think, but I think maybe I just swim, swim. Wanna fall in love with your skin. Swim, swim. I could spend a lifetime watching you.
Swim, swim.
This is how it all begins.
Swim, swim.
I just wanna dive, I just wanna dive.
Water, water, so deep, water, so deep. Take it off the ground, I ain't never getting COVID. Yeah, you know me, yeah, you know me. Sitting on the throne, now I'm ready for the whole scene.
I can feel the high waves coming. You run away, you can run it.
Sour to my tongue, she's stunning.
You're the only place that I wanna be. Yeah.
Swim, swim. Wanna fall in love with your skin.
Swim, swim.
I could spend a lifetime watching you.
Swim, swim, swim.
This is how it all begins.
Swim, swim.
I just wanna dive, I just wanna dive.
Splash. Make waves with my two fins. Splash, break. I just wanna take it across the line. From the hair, it'll change the time. Baby, everything can be so sad. Through my face on the west side.
I just wanna die, I just wanna die.
Swim, swim. Water falling off your skin.
Swim, swim.
I could spend a lifetime watching you.
Swim, swim. Swim,
swim,
let it all begin.
Swim, swim.
I just wanna dive, I just wanna dive.
I can't move on, baby doll. Waiting on calls, flipping through stations. I'm out of class, it's outrageous. Take it all, baby doll. Whatever's been weighing you down. Find me on Miami concrete, looking for somebody different, cause my daddy was a pimp. My mama had issues, but I miss it anyway. Oh, baby doll, please don't call me for the wrong reason. We both know exactly what I'm thinking. Weeks pass and I never grow tired, cause I never said never and I barely ever lie. I'm on the road to an original place and out of space. I didn't make it up, but you can't find it on a phone or a globe. And I can take you with me if you really wanna go. Oh, baby, though, I can't move on.
I can't move on, baby, though. Waiting on calls, flipping through stations. I'm out of class. I'll take it all, baby doll. Whatever's been weighing you down.
This is Meet the Candidates.
Hi, this is Jeff Thomas, Division President with iHeartMedia. It's time for another edition of Meet the Candidates. Our candidate today is Jake Levine, who is candidate for Congress, District 32, which is...
It's the most beautiful district in the country. We go from Malibu on the West Coast to Laurel Canyon, and then imagine the West LA VA in Brentwood all the way up to Porter Ranch. So we've got most of the San Fernando Valley west of the 405, and we also have Simi Valley after Prop 50. Huge, diverse, beautiful district.
You have from the mountains to the ocean.
Exactly.
And everything in between.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you look at that district, when you look at the constituents and the people living there, like, as you are, you know, running for office, like, what do you see as the number one priority?
Bringing down the cost of living so that people who live in our district can afford to live and work there. And we've got a whole host of challenges on that front. We're really focused right now on housing. We've put a proposal together for a national housing development bank that will bring down the cost to actually build new housing supply and catalyze private sector investment in new housing. We're also supporting the demand side with support for first-time homebuyers to do down payments and assist them with those, and also a national renter's tax credit, because so many people, when Brad Sherman, my opponent, was first running for office in 1997, imagine that, in 1997, you could afford a one-bedroom apartment in our district for $700 a month. Today, it's $2,800. So we've got to allow young people who want to live the dream of homeownership to save for that, but it's also across the board. We got to bring down prices for childcare, for education, for insurance. Now, our district has Pacific Palisades and Malibu, which of course experienced the devastation of the wildfires, and that's caused insurance prices to spike everywhere. We've got a strategy to do that. Unfortunately, our incumbent member of Congress takes hundreds of thousands of dollars from the insurance industry, the very insurers who are denying claims to people like my mom in the aftermath of that fire.
So when you say you have a plan, give me a few specifics on things that you would do.
You know, the impetus for me to get into this race was losing my childhood home in the Palisades fire. And I've been walking that roadway with my mom along the way, dealing with property contents loss, loss of use, reconstruction. And in addition to the need for federal funding, which we have not gotten, insurance is the single most important thing happening right now in our recovery. And we have an industry that is jacking up prices due to the perception of increased risk, but they're not providing discounts for people who are actually going above and beyond and building resilience into their own reconstruction. We know that by using different materials, by using defensible space, by thinking about our use of public lands, that we can actually mitigate risk, and that should bring premiums down. But we also need a better system than the State Insurance Commission, which has failed to hold insurance companies accountable, to allow for people to not only get the claims for which they've paid their premiums, that many of them are being denied to this day, but we also need to provide a pathway for people to issue complaints and for the insurance companies to have to be accountable to that. So we're proposing a federal claims advocacy center for people who are experiencing losses of these kinds of wildfires that sadly are now part of the new normal in terms of the climate reality that we're living in.
So if I'm an insurance company, conceivably, I had to pay out a lot of, you know, premiums for people that had damage, lost their houses, et cetera. My business has to be profitable as well. Like,
right.
How do you balance that?
Well, what they're experiencing in California is a crisis of liquidity. They have got too many premiums that are paying out too much, and they have not calibrated the risk to the pricing of their premiums. And that's a part of the reason why you have that, is because the Insurance Commission has sat on rate cases for claims sort of indefinitely. Now, ultimately, this does not benefit consumers, because the end state of that is that the insurance companies leave the state. And so people can't actually get insurance at all. And the people who are still here with their insurers are seeing their premiums rise, in some cases, 500%. And this is happening all over our district, not just in the wildland urban interface where you have high wildfire risk. So we actually do need to normalize and speed up a process for processing rate cases for the insurance companies. But that has to be paired with common sense discounts on premiums that people can achieve by reducing their relative risk. We have an insurance commission in the state that has been sitting on its job to process these administrative decisions, and we need them to speed up.
So you worked a lot in climate, energy, et cetera, right? I talk to people all over the country, right? They're always asking about the weather here, which is awesome and beautiful.
Right.
But in your district specifically, like we talked about, there's wildfires, there's mudslides, there's weather events, either catastrophic or ongoing, that are happening. And we had a ton of rain this past season, which, you know, amps up the possibility for, you know, events like that to happen. Like, what do we do? What are you proposing we do to kind of not just, you know, go after, you know, some of the challenges that you've talked about once things have already happened, but mitigate those or stop those events from happening?
Yeah. Well, we have a few. First of all, I see this as the biggest economic opportunity for our country in a generation. And what I'm talking about is addressing the climate crisis by accelerating a clean energy transition and deploying just endless, abundant wind, solar, battery storage. This is now, if you look at the private market, and I'm not talking about government funding, but just what the private sector is doing, more than 90% of new energy generation around the world is wind, solar, and batteries. And the reason that that is because it's the least expensive and the most reliable. In our own district, we are doubling down with ineffective leadership on fossil fuel resources that are dangerous and expensive. Exhibit A is Aliso Canyon. Now, this is in the northeast part of my district. This was the site of the largest natural gas explosion in our country's history. I helped when I was working for Fran Pavli in the state legislature to articulate a pathway to actually shut that facility down, to transition it to battery storage, and to transition the workforce. We got SoCalGas and Edison and DWP around a table to talk about a future for the workforce to have jobs in the clean energy economy. And we should be investing in that kind of innovation all over the world. When I served in the last administration at the Development Finance Corporation, I invested billions of dollars in this type of clean energy. And everywhere I went around the world, I always saw one other player at the table, and that was the government of China. They were investing in these countries in clean energy because they know that that represents the economic opportunity of the next generation. It represents job creation, and it represents opportunities to build alliances with people overseas that we need to have as partners in really important parts of the world. So I would say, even though here in this district we're starting to see the effects, we also can bring our ingenuity and innovation and young people to bear on the solutions. And that's what we're focused on doing, is thinking about it from the as an opportunity.
So your district is very diverse, not just the ocean to the mountains like we talked about earlier, but the population, like the people. Like, how do you serve, you know, people that live in the Malibu the same way you're serving people in Porter Ranch? Like, very different.
You got to be out there and you have to understand the issues that animate all of the different communities. Now, there are some unifying concerns. You know, the cost of living is too high everywhere. And so the predominant story across this district is one that is struggling economically. Whether you're in Simi Valley, whether you're in the San Fernando Valley, whether you're on the west side of LA, people need more economic opportunity. That's why we're going to focus on supporting our small businesses, which are really the engines of job creation. It's why we're fighting for a national tax credit on film and television production, which, as we know, this is like our version of the Detroit auto industry. In Congress, we have an opportunity to actually solve that problem. We also can be addressing that with copyright reforms to protect against the unintended consequences of artificial intelligence technology and what that's going to do to that industry. So there are sort of unifying themes, but at the end of the day, you're right. You know, someone in Porter Ranch is living a really different life than someone in Malibu or someone in Simi, and you got to just get out there and talk to those people and get to know them.
What separates you from other candidates in the race?
Effectiveness. You know, I didn't need to be elected to Congress to know that we needed to shepherd a community effort to lead a recovery in the Palisades. I started a nonprofit called Department of Angels that's serving people to this day. I didn't need to wait until the opportune moment to support a Green New Deal. I helped to start one in California, the California Climate Action Corps, which has put 20,000 young people to work. I didn't need to wait to know which way the wind was blowing on ICE and immigration. We started a petition to make sure that this city is not allowing unlawful and unconstitutional ICE detentions on city property. We need members of Congress who deal with problems with the urgency that they require, and that is what will distinguish me from other candidates.
Jake Levine, candidate for Congress, District 32. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it on Meet the Candidates.
Thanks, Jeff. It's wonderful to be here.
Ooh, so down and you talk like you walk. Come and talk to me. sowing seed. But what good is beauty if your booty can't find a beat? I don't wanna know, girl, so please don't do that to me. Cause it would break my heart, break my heart, break my heart if I find out you can't move. You better show me now, show me now, show me now. Cause when I take it to the floor,
Frankie V, Kiss FM, got your Freya Sky, Silent Treatment.
You played it cool and I played it dumb. Don't you think I'm a little too young to be messed with like that? So convincing, you made it look fun. Laugh it off, but the damage is done. Saying, baby, just relax, relax. I got my hopes too high. You hardly said goodbye, then casually walked out of my life. Where you left me. Pour my self-control down the sink. Almost die every time the phone rings. Why won't somebody help me? I got my hopes too high. Read in between the lines. Am I supposed to read your mind? Oh, we don't talk anymore, talk anymore, talk anymore. Give me the silent treatment. The least you could. Talk anymore, gave me the silent treatment. Did you go find someone or am I the reason? And I can't ignore, I can't ignore, I can't ignore the way I hate you for leaving. It's too much free time staring up at the ceiling. Losing for the treatment I've been feeling. Losing for the leaving I've been.
Check it, check it out. It's Santana again. Stepping, stepping, stepping out. One of them brand new big boy toys. I do big boy things, I make big boy noise. Cause I know what girls want. I know what they like. They wanna stay up and party all night. So bring a friend.
Let me talk to you, tell you how it is. I was thinking when I saw that body. Gotta get shorty, tell her what the young boy gon' do. Damn them chicks with you. Gotta be a kid. They pretty thick with a kick that's sick. That need to be hit. So tell me what y'all gon' do.
I got friends and you got friends, Once I get in, you won't let go. I'll have the girls wishing they were you. I know you heard about me, but guess what's going on?
For me. Don't stop doing that. And shorty know I mean what I say, so she won't stop doing that. Plus I heard if you could dance, you could bump. Well, dance time is up. Let's go, let's go. We could get it in. We could get some friends. Do it like the yin yang twins. Start whispering. Where do you see my eye? Where do you see my eye? Let me fall back. You ain't ready for all that. Have you sleep late, real late? Yeah, taking them long naps. You tell your friends to get with my friends. We could be friends, switch and meet friends.
Switch.
We could do it all night long and to the clock hit morning. You dig?
Is your man?
I'm not alone.